Hello, and welcome to Philologia, Virginia Tech's College of Liberal Arts and Human Sciences undergraduate research journal. My name is Joseph Clement. I'm an associate editor here at Philologia. In today's interview with newly published author Shane Lee, we'll discuss his piece on solving the problem of discriminatory load shedding in South Africa. Thanks for listening, and we hope you enjoy.
So you actually went and visited South Africa, right, when you were doing some research and that? Could you talk about that experience?
Yeah, of course. Great questions, man. So I was in South Africa this past summer, so July 2022, from about July 4th to July 28th, 27th. And we were able to visit different parts like Durban, Johannesburg. And the main thing I was able to take away is load shedding is a massive issue in South Africa. And that's basically just intermittent energy blackouts throughout the day that occur. And they primarily affect specifically Black South Africans in rural and township areas. Mm-hmm. And I just want to bring light on not only the class and inequality issues that occur with that, but the environmental justice issues that occur with that. Eskom, which is the main utility there, they primarily still run on fossil fuels. Yes, South Africa is a very solar abundant nation. So right. The time for progress and transformation in that sphere should be coming right now. So just wanted to touch upon all those issues.
Yeah, that's cool. And you talked about it, South Africa has such a high potential. So you really wanted to address the 100%. There's something to do here, right?
Something
now.
To do. There's a lot of sun. So it got to be used by somebody. So,
What got you interested in this topic? Did you hear about it in a class? Did you just kind of have a preformed knowledge of this? How'd you get involved with that?
So I've always kind of wanted to go to Africa just because as an African-American man, I've always wanted to see what Africa is like. In South Africa, there's a couple cool programs that Virginia Tech specifically had, and this was just one of them. And I've always been interested in environmental stuff because I have a knowledge like, you know, climate change, global warming is here. We need to do something about it now. So just overall, just trying to do things with that. I just able to merge, you know, my traveling interest in South Africa with my global warming perspective. And I was just there in South Africa in July. So that's pretty much what led me there. Yeah.
It was cool. It is really cool when you can join like academia and writing a paper with. I actually just had this awesome trip.
Yeah. No, it was cool. Yeah. You know, it was fun, but it was also, you know, serious about what I want to do with my career. So two birds with one stone, literally.
Yeah, no, that's cool. Having that like trip and going there is much better than just, you know, having the hands-off experience in the classroom. So how did that actually go in there impact your writing?
So I was able to get a firsthand experience and actually talk to the people who were there. You know, if I had just been in the States writing about the issue, then I wouldn't be able to specifically see, go through the load shedding that happens every single day, see how it affects people who are in lower income areas in the rural township areas, how it's supposed to only go off for like 4 hours a day. But it goes out for 6 to 8 hours a day, and it's very random in comparison to other areas where they know it's going to happen and when it's going to happen. So I was able to witness that disparity in class and then also with energy allocation in person, which is very, very beneficial. So I was able to write about it from a firsthand perspective. And just being able to talk to natives of South Africa who have been living with it for the past couple of decades, right, and who have also lived through apartheid and now in this post-apartheid stage, and seeing how things are the same and how things are actually very much different in both ways. So just being able to be there and living in South Africa for a month is very, very transformative. And I'm a different person because of it. So it was a really great experience.
Yeah. And like you said, with having the hands-on, you can actually have a different background with your writing too. You have a better credibility to speak on these issues because you've seen them firsthand.
I understand. I was able to cite specific conversations, like being able to go to a hotel and the use of solar panels and having to go to a lot of houses and a lot of generators are there. But generators are specifically used by some of the white South Africans who have more money compared to the poor Black South Africans who don't have any access to a generator. So just seeing able to class differences and how some of the apartheid practices are still active today in different ways.
Right. So would you say was that the crux of what you want people to get out of? Is this dichotomy in poorer Black South Africans aren't getting these resources as opposed to these more wealthy areas are? Is that the main point of your paper, or what would you want audiences to get out of if they took one?
That's a great question. That is one of the things I do want to get from it. But specifically, what I want the audience to take away from this is that there's an abundance of solar in many different places across the world. And in South Africa, there's no reason for Eskom, the main utility, to still be so reliant on fossil fuels. There are geopolitical reasons why they're still using fossil fuels, but the current president has initiated and talked about and discussed wanting to move towards solar use, residential and commercial, to remedy load shedding. So there's no reason for it not to happen. I mean, as I talk about my paper, and if you can read it if you want to, there's specific projects happening in different townships and rural areas that's doing this, along with government programs, along with different political parties discussing how to use solar. So It exists right there, but collaboration needs to happen from a private and public space. Mm-hmm. So yeah, let's try to move to solar in an equitable way. That is the main takeaway.
Right. All the tools are there. Let's just take the steps.
And I know that's harder than it seems. Oh, it's harder than I'm always appearing it to be, but
it's not impossible.
It's not impossible. That's great. It's not impossible. So
what would you say has been, it was an amazing paper and it was very successful already getting published, but mm-hmm. were there any challenges in this whole process that you found?
Different challenges, right? Because I'm coming from a Western perspective, really from the United States, having to accept that the norms and culture is different in South Africa. There are a lot of similarities because, I mean, we are both colonies of the UK. But there's a lot of differences culturally, of course, population. I mean, it's a primarily black nation compared to here, right, where we are the minority. So that's different contrasts and comparisons. Different ways into how, like, racism is perceived there. It's kind of a little bit more explicit in some areas of South Africa, where in comparison to here, it's not as explicit. So definitely some challenges and just getting used to just being a different place.
Right.
But definitely an enjoyable experience. I definitely want to go back to South Africa, and I encourage everyone who's listening to this to also go to South Africa. I think it's a great place. A lot of good things happening there. But it's also sad in a lot of ways. Mm-hmm. But yeah.
Right. So it's hard coming from a different culture and finding ways to, like, understand what's happening there, but it was also gratifying too to see these individual experiences.
100%. Right? It was a lot of cultural appreciation instead mm-hmm. of being cultural appropriating of the culture in South Africa. Amazing to go to Zululand, and like I said, I went to Johannesburg and Durban, and seeing all the beautiful black people in South Africa. So it was crazy. It was nice.
It's cool. A lot of different stories to be heard.
Lots of different stories to be heard and seen. And a lot of misconceptions that I previously had about South Africa were nullified when I went. So,
right.
Yeah. And I guess one of the other big struggles is to see, specifically post-apartheid, not as much progress as I assumed had been made, actually hasn't been made there. There's still a lot of nepotism that exists there in South Africa, as well as high unemployment that just stems from apartheid policies that haven't been remedied, which is sad to see. But, you know, I think just being able to talk about these issues and what's happening over there is better than not. So,
right. No, absolutely.
Yeah.
So you've been through this whole process now. If you went to a country, you wrote a paper about it, and you brought in these big issues that are solvable, but you have a really cool perspective on it. This is how you do research and this is how you get published. Is there any advice you'd share with someone going through something similar?
Definitely do research conferences. I mean, at Virginia Tech, we have the Dennis Dean that's actually happening next week. And that's free or open to the public for any Virginia Tech student. So definitely get your research out there, because you can definitely get feedback on where your paper can improve at, or your poster presentations, or any type of presentations you want to do for a class. And yeah, like I said, I mean, this was just for, I've had this plan for about 8 months, but this was really just for a regular class paper that I did for South Africa, and I was able to do research with it, and then I was able to get it published by Philologia. So anyone can get work published. Right. It's just taking the steps to ensure that happens, and getting feedback and revisions, as we know. I mean, just revisions upon revisions. But I encourage everyone to try to get their work published in any way, shape, or form. So yeah, it's cool. Just take feedback. Yeah. Ask questions.
Yeah, so that's a great attitude to have, especially towards academia. Like, just ask questions and be proactive.
Be proactive. I mean, you guys were sending out notices that you guys were accepting journals for a while, and I was like, I hopped on as soon as I can. Just ask questions of the editors, like, hey, you know, when will I hear back? But yeah, be proactive. Ask questions.
Right.
Yeah, if you have something to say, say it.
What was the publication process like for you? Did you enjoy it? Was it tedious at times?
Honestly, it was just a relief to know that I was going to get published at the end of the day. So the little edits I had to make, it was like, I've done like 99% of the work. Mm-hmm. All I got to do was just make it a little bit better from your help. Like, that's it. Like, cool. Like, there was no issues with that. I guess just the more stressful aspect of it was just waiting to hear back if I got it or not. Mm-hmm. And then I'm also looking at different publications and journals across the country. Have different rules, you know, you can't submit to them if it's in waiting in another journal. So I'm trying to figure out, okay, am I accepted or denied? And so trying to figure out those little things. And then also just making sure that everything I'm doing is ethical with my interviews, and making sure that if anyone reads it, that there's no inaccuracies in there. So little stressful things in the paper that can be nitpicked. But once I knew I was going to publish, like, the stress was gone. All I had to do was some edits. I mean, that is nothing. compared to that. I did the bulk of the work already, doing presentations, writing the paper, going to South Africa,
right.
Having to do a class for it, two classes for it. So, I mean, it was cool. It was, yeah. This was a breeze. Easy part, 100%. Yeah.
So you said originally it was for a class. Did you have any back and forth with professors as you were trying to get published, or was it just write your paper and then send it out on your own?
So yeah, so when I went to South Africa, I was actually with my professor, Dengani, who teaches actually a class at Tech, but also is a professor at VCU, along with Dr. Susan Binder-Derrick. Well, they're actually both doctors. I'm sorry, Dengani. But they're both doctors, but they're both our professors, and they both teach at VCU. Mm-hmm. And so when I came back here, I specifically worked with Susan on just making a paper. We did a research class during the fall. So it was like a class during the summer that I went to South Africa in. Then when I came back in the fall, we had a class. So I had to do a final paper for the South Africa summer class, and then we just adapted and built upon that for the fall. So
right.
Pretty much it. So I was working on the paper for like five, six months. I mean, continuing, I mean, from July to now, I mean, it's been like almost 7-8 months, but yeah.
Right, yeah, it's seeing how things evolve, and it's got to be cool working with the professor and getting their active feedback. That's got to be a reference for down the road, too, when you're looking to build a career.
Oh, 100%. I mean, Dengani, I mean, he was born in South Africa. He lived through the apartheid period, and Susan and Dengani have been going to South Africa for like 20 years now.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, they've been so many times, so they had so many resources, being able to connect me to politicians and local community leaders and business leaders. And it's just it was an amazing experience. I could have done it without them, so thank you guys. Yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah, that must have been a really cool experience, being able to work back and forth with your professors and build some connections, like you said.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you have this platform of having a video interview. Is there anything you want to expand upon in your paper?
I guess specifically something that I'm really invested in now in a post-grad career that I didn't necessarily touch upon as much in the paper, but it's very implicitly expressed is just the idea of environmental justice, working to help communities that have suffered from historical issues in regards to the environment. And a way to do that or to remedy that is through renewable energy use by putting solar panels that won't emit carbon and will actually be beneficial and healthy for the community. So just the environmental aspect of it, the environmental justice aspect of it, right? And then also what happens when load shedding occurs in communities, right? There's just an efficiency aspect that occurs. There's loss of electricity. Traffic lights can go out. I mean, you stop your day. Like, you can't cook. You can't do anything unless you have an external power source, right? So there's environmental injustices that are happening with that. So really wanted to touch upon that. And, you know, as we work to mitigate climate change, you know, having historically excluded communities at top of mind is very important.
Right.
So, 100%.
Yeah, especially if we're removed from these cultures, that doesn't mean that we're removed from being able to do something and say something about it. Like, 100%. If you're writing from a Western perspective, like you said earlier, that doesn't devalue what you can do at all.
100%. We're all people at the end of the day. You know, we gotta try to take care of each other.
We hope you enjoyed listening to Shane discuss his piece on using solar panels to mitigate the effects of load shedding in South Africa. His essay is included in the 14th edition of Philologia, along with four other newly published essays and one poem. Check out the newly released publication to read more amazing works. From everyone at Philologia, thank you and enjoy your reading.